You know, empty nesters, it's a thing. People are dealing with it. I'm not. I have a 3 and a 6-year-old. I have a long time before we get there. But, you know, it's something that is happening to friends of mine and relatives. And it's not always an easy thing to do. But in that process, you're scaling down and having to kind of rebuild and redesign what your future life is going to be like. And you need help from professionals sometimes. And then somebody who I think you should reach out to is Lenore Weiss from Lenore Nice Studios. Lenore, thank you for joining me. So tell us about yourself. You are you're an Aries. Do you like long walks on the beach and on the North Shore?
On the North Shore, yes. I'm a Cancer. No, I'm an architect and an interior designer. And I get into the psychology of space as well.
I love that.
Yes.
Because we're talking about a aspect of redesign.
Yes.
Or design that preys on that. You know, we're dealing with, you know, the children leaving.
Exactly. Actually, all design people should delve into what their intentions are, their lifestyle needs, but especially when people are downsizing and thinking about leaving maybe a larger scaled home and moving to a smaller condo, how to accommodate the needs of possibly the changing dynamics of family, children being gone, possibly coming back with larger family, spouses in the future, their own children in the future.
Sure.
And how to make sure that the spaces accommodate everybody's needs.
And these aren't just for financial reasons. Like, it's not, they're not downsizing for financial reasons. They're not downsizing for familiar reasons. Their family's leaving. And so with that said, and why I bring up money in this is because you're actually going to make money on the sale of your home.
Yes.
Right?
Hopefully.
Hopefully. Yeah, hopefully. The market's fairly strong. It's not going down. We definitely are not where we want to be, but the market's okay right now. I know the luxury market's a little stale, but things are starting to pick up a little bit. With that said, you're downsizing. You have now liquid, hopefully, some money.
Yes.
You're going to move into a new place. You're used to a certain amount of amenities, right?
Correct.
And a certain style. How do you now transfer that stylistically and functionally into a 2-bedroom condo downtown or wherever that may be?
Okay, well, it's interesting because when many of the people move into the city, sometimes what happens is you change your focal point from your interior space of your house to the greater outdoors. So maybe you have, we were talking a little bit earlier about possibly like a smoking room or a bar lounge.
Yeah.
Okay, so maybe you spend more time outside, but there could also be places within the smaller space that accommodate those needs. One of the things that I do quite a bit of are multifunctional spaces, spaces that can do dual duty, maybe a home office where there's transitional furniture that could also open up into a guest room, you know, maybe a Murphy bed type of situation where furniture itself can do double duty, but so can rooms with sliding panels, sliding doors, spaces that open and close.
Sure.
And
typically with your clients, I mean, when you say 2-bedroom condo, put it in perspective. Are they 1,500 square foot 2-bedroom condos or are they 6,000 square foot 2-bedroom condos, you know?
I have a range in between.
Okay.
I'm working on one right now for a client who moved from a larger home in a suburb to quite a nice, well-appointed space overlooking the lake in 4,000 square feet. So she's able
Big difference there because it's pretty much bigger than most people's homes.
Exactly, you know? Exactly. So she's able to accommodate a lot of her needs within this space and then some.
Yeah. So for her is downsizing and then moving, because I think part of what we're talking about here with the emptiness syndrome, let's call it, is now going into a more active area, right?
Exactly.
And with more to do so that you're not thinking so much how you miss your children.
Exactly. Well, there is opportunity in being part of a more cultural social fabric, the activity that goes on when people do move back into the city, being able to attend sport events, cultural events, you know, things
the second coming.
Exactly.
As some of my clients have called it. Yeah.
Exactly.
The opportunity to reconnect. I mean, you spent your entire life, you know, giving to your children. I think it's only fair that you get a little back.
And part of it is defining for yourself and whoever you're living with, partner or whatever, how you want to live your next phase, how you want to be in the next part of your life, and setting up your spaces in order to be able to do that. If a person likes to entertain, making sure that the condo that they choose has entertainment space, cooking space, kitchen space, maybe not at all.
Right.
Maybe it's a convenience kitchen so that you can enjoy Randolph Street, for example.
Sure.
Yes.
How about amenities and buildings? When are you involved with a realtor, let's just say, helping in picking the right space for that client?
Sometimes, yes. And sometimes the amenity spaces do play a very big part in the choice of building that a client will choose, whether there's a pool, whether there's a workout area, whether there's a business lounge where somebody who might work at home has a space that they could, you know, meet clients in a more social, a more
I have some friends who do exactly that. Yeah. They bought into a building down here in downtown, and specifically because they had an amazing business center and a rooftop pool, and they could entertain clients. And so it was a really smart investment, in my opinion.
Yes.
And a well-designed place. You know what's interesting is, to the contrary, you hear more about kids moving back home. Mm-hmm. Is this putting a little you know, bump in the empty nest possibilities? Because, you know, I've had clients who are like, yeah, we're getting ready to do it, and all of a sudden it's like Johnny just came from, you know, he lost his job and he's moving back in.
Yes and no. And it does come back again to the multifunctional, you know, aspect of choosing a space. So if there is an extra bedroom, Johnny will share a home office with mom or dad, you know.
Right.
And that might be the way it is for a while. Maybe there's sliding panels. Maybe there's little niches that can be carved out for other hobbies or other space, other activities that would allow Johnny to use one of those spaces for a bedroom.
Now you get into feng shui.
Yes.
We're talking to designer, architect, and feng shui expert, Lenore Weiss from Lenore Weiss Studios. Lenore, thank you so much for hanging out with us.
Great to be here today.
Yeah, so I'm going to jump right to it. I'm pretty fascinated by, we touched on feng shui, but you got a little deeper on me during the break. You mentioned neuroscience, which is something I'm heavily into, and you're tying it to design, which I'm also heavily into. Talk about how there's a correlation between feng shui, neuroscience, the effect that design has in terms of energy and mood in the human in that space.
Okay, I'm going to ask you a question.
Please.
Tell me a space that you could think of that just you're absolutely in awe of, that really inspires you, that you walk into and you just say, oh, this is amazing.
Mostly, I could instantly, if I was to answer that quickly, a spa-like environment.
Okay. You know. So there's certain attributes to that yes. spa-like environment that actually speak to your brain, that your brain filters through, and there's a physiological response that you have to those environmental cues. It's all of our senses that need to be engaged positively. It's sight, it's smell, it's sound, it's touch. All of these things help to fulfill that environment and that ability for you to feel wonderful in that environment.
Sure. And it's right. You're touching on all the senses in that. What's interesting, what you're doing in your practice and in your personal journey here is you're connecting the science behind it. Because we've talked about this for years. I've written it in my first book, Dirty Little Secrets of Design. It was one of my things was the quantum design element, yes. The unseen that you can feel. That when a well-designed room, well-thought design room comes together, there's a certain ambiance and energy that exuded from that space that makes you feel something.
Exactly.
Right?
It's the affective space that actually attracted people to the whole concept of feng shui to begin with several years ago. And I think people were looking for a magic bullet. You know, yeah. give me the reason why I feel good in this space. You know, is it certain elements? Is it the yin and the yang of it? Is it the balance? But it's all of those things.
Right.
And it's our ability to look at these different disciplines and say, how can we connect it to today's scientific abilities to be able to say that there is this institute at the Salk Institute that studies neuroscience for architects, believe it or not.
It's brilliant.
It is brilliant because people have been doing it so much in commercial design, in healthcare design.
Well, corporations have been doing it forever.
Absolutely. That's
all marketing.
Branding.
Right.
In healthcare, it's patient recovery rates.
Yeah.
Why does natural lighting help a patient to recover quicker? You know, there are actual reasons for it.
Yeah.
And so if we can apply some of that data, some of that information to even our home environments, we should.
Yeah.
And that's what that is.
But it takes science, unfortunately, to justify what has been known inherently by human response, but yet can't be quantified because there's no scientific data
exactly.
to prove it. But I'm so thrilled to hear that you are working on data to back up a fact that exists on a quantum level.
And it is actually a lot of fun when people feel the response, they see the response, and you're able to implement some of these ideas into designs that people will be able to appreciate and incorporate into their lifestyle.
Which thus even further brings us into a completely, you know, another realm of then knowing with that data having the ability to create an algorithm of that feeling to then recreate that feeling in an instant with technology.
Yes and no.
Tell me.
So there can't be an algorithm because each of us has a different way of experiencing space. You grew up in certain environments. You have a cultural background. You have a physical background that informs the way you're going to filter all the environmental cues to feel a certain way. It's going to be different than anyone else in the room.
But don't you think you would discover over the course of 50 studies that there would be similarities in,
yes,
in a generic form?
In a generic way. And yes, it's a starting point. It's absolutely a great starting point.
It's fascinating. I could talk about this all day long.
It is. It's wonderful. And again, to be able to use this information.
Yeah, what's your end game with all this info? Like, what are you going to do with it?
To be able to have people create spaces that are truly aligned with whatever their lifestyle needs are. So, you know, we started out talking about empty nesters and how people are going to organize their spaces, whether it's, you know, whether they're going to move space, remodel space, create any kind of new space, to be able to use this information to support specific lifestyle needs. It's exciting.
See, I think if you could punch in those precursors and from a psychotherapy standpoint of knowing somebody, and I'm getting deep here, but if you knew those trigger points for somebody, mm-hmm, coupled with the information you're collecting, that ability.
Yes.
We're talking AI now.
You know, well,
that's what we're talking about, is artificial intelligence to better lives. It's happening on multiple levels already.
Absolutely.
In science. To hear it coming into our space of design, architecture, home is great.
You know? It is. It is great. And to be able to understand that symbiotic relationship between environment and human behavior is so strong.
Yeah.
And we can help to direct it in a way that is beneficial to the occupants of those spaces. It's great. It's really a great tool.
I mentioned during the break, I'm writing my next book right now, and it's on partially this topic. And the goal would be to have people, you know, because, you know, the self-help industry is a gazillion dollar business, you know, it's like, but what happens to people is they get this knowledge, then they try to retain it, return to their environment, and what happens in their environment? There's things existing in that space that remind them of the old situation that then
absolutely
trigger their old feelings, and then they can't stay in that state. So my goal is, how do you get somebody to stay in that state of enlightenment and energy? It's reinforced with the home.
Absolutely. And it's recognizing that this can be a tool to be used to further your goals, to be able to create these environments that are going to move you to a future state rather than a past state.
Brilliant stuff. I love it. Lenore Weiss, you can visit the website is lenoreweissstudios.com. We're going to hook up. We're going to go for coffee and talk more about this.
Sounds great.
Well, maybe we'll record it for social media so people have to find the conversation. It'd be fun. Besides the website, do you have a phone number where people can reach you?
Sure. It's 847-302-0285.
The Frank Fontana Show.
I just try and think of nice things.
What kind of things?
It's not just home improvement.
That's what I call a great idea.
It's life improvement.
We didn't know anything about this.
Brown paper packages tied up with strings. These are a few.
Welcome back to the Frank Fontana Show. That's me. Thanks for hanging out with us. Again, we're going to be ending just a wee bit early today at 2:45 for the Northwestern basketball game. We'll be broadcasting live on WGN Radio. And it is time for my favorite things. And one of my favorite things is Taco Tuesday. We do it every Tuesday. Legit. My wife makes herself some nice either bison tacos or grass-fed beef, a little bit of cheese on the side, and of course, the tortilla. And her process of making the tortilla is she takes a pan, puts a little butter, and then there's only room for like one or two tortillas at a time. My kids are at the table screaming, "Mom, I want more." Then she's running back from the table to make more tortillas for the kids, or tries to make them in advance, but by the time you get to the table, it's cold. So it's time to change that game and take it to the next level. Joining me is Elliot Benitez. Elliot, what's your product?
Frank, thanks for having me. The name of our product is Nooni Toaster. Happens to be the world's first tortilla toaster for people who love tacos.
Brilliant. I love it. First question, Nooni. Why Nooni?
You know, after a certain point, you have to name the product that you're working on. And I had a hard time figuring out what to call this thing that's never existed before. So I gave my grandfather a call, and I started to bend his ear about our heritage. And as it turns out, we belong to these people out of southern Mexico named Mixtecos, right? So they speak their own language. It's named Mixtec. So I asked him if he could translate three words for me. Those words were corn, flour, and tortilla. As it turns out, the next day, he was going fishing with a bunch of his Mixteco friends. So he went on his fishing trip. He gave me a call the next day. So the three words, the translations for those three words were, for flour, it was ita. For tortilla, it was tila. And for nuni, it was, for corn, excuse me, it was nuni. So it translates to corn toaster.
Interesting. That's an awesome story. Now, does he get a percentage of your future business?
Sure, why not?
So, I mean, what a great idea. It's, you know, it's always those things, like I always talk about, like, you know, the guy who invented the little cocktail umbrella that goes in, like, is going to, you know, as a gazillionaire. Is this the product for you that you think is going to revolutionize your legacy? Like, is this your legacy here? You think this is the product that's going to change the game?
We definitely think it's a game changer. I mean, as far as like what it feels to me, I've poured my blood, sweat, and tears into this product, right?
And you're not like this like product engineer guy, right?
No, my background's not in engineering. My background's not in manufacturing. I'm a taco guy with a marketing background.
And define taco guy as a guy who eats tacos, right?
I eat tacos on the reg is what a taco guy is. Yeah.
And you, and like all us dreamers out there, we all have ideas for great products. Like, oh God, if they only could do this, this, and this. And then you either run it up the flagpole, and if you're, even if you do, a lot of it stays in people's heads, and or they turn the TV on. Oh, dude, I thought of that. You know, like, in short, how did you get it from idea of guy who loves tacos to I'm going to make this a reality?
You know, you got to do a lot of research on the front end. So you want to hook up with patent attorneys, engineers. Long story short, you need to find people who know what they're doing, right? So those are going to be the people that catapult you to the next level. So once you have, you know, a proof of concept, which is like a real basic first draft of whatever you're building or whatever you want to do, that allows you the foundation to start moving it, you know, towards the market, getting it on shelves and selling it to people.
Did you tinker with like toasters around your house to figure out, can I do it with traditional toasters? Can I do it, you know, like, did, because a lot of times I hear these stories of inventors that like, oh yeah, I took apart my, you know, my wife's toaster and I tried to make it myself. Did you do any of that?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I stuck a couple of tortillas inside of a bread toaster to just kind of figure out where we stand. You know, it didn't work.
They didn't stand, did they?
No, they didn't. Yeah. Nice one. No, they didn't. So, yeah. So from that perspective, you know, you want to, it's a lot of trial and error is what I'm getting at. You know, it's really hard to come up with something right off the bat. So it's a lot of messing up and it's a lot of fixing.
Did you fund this yourself?
I did, for the most part.
Do you mind
part.
Me asking around about like what if somebody had that kind of idea, what does it take financially?
Yeah, absolutely. I think
you don't need to give me exacts, but ballparks.
Sure. We have a couple hundred thousand dollars invested into it.
Wow.
It's, you know, split up in between engineering, the IP, and tooling. So it can get expensive.
Did you raise money for it?
We have. Yeah. Yes.
Did you do like a modern day run, like, you know, GoFundMe type of stuff? Or?
Well, we had an Indiegogo campaign that failed miserably. you know, we tried to get it out there last summer. And we just weren't ready for that type of exposure. So fast forward, you know, another year, we ended up having a video that went viral back in June.
Tell me about that.
So someone from Business Insider reached out to me. And they're like, you know, we're interested in making a video on Latino entrepreneurs. Are you interested? I'm like, yeah, sure. So they sent a crew from New York City down to my place in Ravenswood. And, you know, we spent the day eating tacos, drinking tequila, and just, you know, taping video. They put the video together.
Mm-hmm.
Excellent.
We keep tequila on hand
excellent,
in the studio.
Excellent. They put the video together, and then they launched it on Facebook on June 5th.
They edited, they shot it?
Everything. They took care of the whole thing. And within 30 days of the video launching, it went viral and hit 15 million people.
Damn.
Yeah.
Damn. Dude, yeah. You know how, I don't, you know, I'm not even going to say luck, because it's grace. Like, that was a blessing, man. Like, you would say that made the situation come to life, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Other than your startup efforts, of course. What I mean is, in today's world, it takes that magic to become the next thing.
Yeah, quantum physics.
Quantum physics, baby. Yeah. You attracted that shit, man.
Yeah, I think so. You know, my intention was in the right place, right? You know, what surprised me is I really had to convince people that there was a need in the marketplace for a tortilla toaster. And that was kind of surprising because I was like, don't you like tacos? Don't you spend a lot of time at the stove preparing tortillas? And they'd say, yes, yes. And then I'd ask them, do you need a tortilla toaster in their life? And they'd say, I don't think so. But once the video went viral, you know, it was certainly a validating feeling.
Yeah. Did it do much in terms of sales for you?
Yeah, absolutely. We were able to generate enough revenue through this video to purchase our first container of product.
And so now you're found where? Like, in where can people pick up the product?
Jump on our website, nunitoaster.com.
N-U-N-I, toaster.com.
That's right. Normally, the product is being sold for $99 with the holidays around the corner. We're selling them for $79. So this will be your chance to get it on a discount on it.
That's great. We appreciate that. And is the goal to be in big box stores? What's your distribution plan now?
Yeah, we have a three-prong approach, you know, to getting the product into the marketplace. One of them is Amazon. The other one is retail shelves. We've actually had some really, really strong retailers reach out to us.
That's great.
Yeah. To be honest with you, the market is reacting exactly like I thought it would, being the only supplier of a tortilla toaster.
Look at you. You little taco lover.
That's right.
Turned it into a reality, man.
Yeah.
It's brilliant. Folks, see, this is what it's all about. This is the American dream right here. You got an idea, you love something, you have a passion for it, you put the energy into it, you don't give up. How many times could you have given up?
I could have given up this morning and not made it to the show.
Yeah. I'm glad you didn't. You'd have left me with a big segment hole. But, you know, in reality, I mean, you could have, I'm sure a lot of times, hit walls and said, you know what, I've invested my life into this and I can't do it anymore.
No, I'm all in. There's no turning back. So it's you know, it's challenging for any entrepreneur that's out there and figuring out what to do with their life. And, you know, there's going to be a lot of people inside of your network, outside of your network, who are going to tell you can't do it or this can't be done. You just got to ask yourself, you know, do I have what it takes to see this through all the way to the end? And that's half the battle.
Have you made your money back yet? Close?
We're on our way.
You made some back?
Yes, definitely.
That takes some of the pain away.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
Good for you, man. Well, listen, I wish you the best, bro. I think it's a great idea. I think you're going to make it. You got the juice as an entrepreneur. I could see it.
Appreciate that.
Yeah. And what's your secret taco recipe, man? You got to give that. Like, what is your favorite? Are you a fish taco guy? You're a traditionalist? Do you like a little bit of a... what is your pork taco guy, a meat? Like, tell me.
I like to get freaky with my tacos.
This is a family show, by the way.
You know, maybe just, you know, a good bet is to put the guac down on the tortilla.
Oh, yeah.
And then you put your filling on top of the guac.
What's your filling? Come on. You got a minute here. Give it to us.
I like chorizo and guac is like a...
Chorizo, yes.
It's like my snack.
Crumbled?
Yeah, definitely. Or just like a good carne asada, steak taco. Which is a roasted tomatillo salsa, no big deal.
Mm-hmm.
Straight to the brain.
How about a good pulled chicken, if you could get it right?
I love the smoke.
Oh, me too.
I love the smoked chicken and beef and all that stuff. That sounds great.
What's your favorite taco joint in town?
Oof. Probably El Patron.
El Patron.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll second that. Good stuff, man. Well, listen, thank you again. You're a cool dude. I wish you the best. I think you're going to make it. It's nunitoaster.com, N-U-N-I, toaster.com. Go check it out. Get one. Let me know. Text us. See if it's changing your Taco Tuesday like it's going to mine.